Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verse 16 through verse 20. And 16 through verse 21. We've been looking at the parables of Jesus, and these have been a blessing to me. Of course, a parable is something that is a story that is being told to declare one simple truth to us. There is many times where people place a lot of doctrine, if you will, on parables. And the truth of the matter is, parables are not meant to merely teach doctrine, but to teach a truth that is true to life and that each and every one of us can learn. And here we're going to be reading here in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. We're going to read about this rich fool here this morning. And notice here in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, the Bible says this, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying," now this is the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and notice it says here, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And notice what the Lord says here. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now notice what's going on here. You've got this, you've got the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's trying to teach a truth here, and he starts talking about this man. And this man had a lot of things. He had a lot of goods. No doubt he was a wealthy man. It says that the ground of this certain rich man, it brought forth plentifully. And as we went through this year, we have seen the time in which the farmers were sowing their seed. We saw the seed was going into the ground. We saw the time of growth. And during that time, there was a lot of work going into the ground. There was things that were being sprayed on the crops. There was fertilizer going on the fields and all of that. But there came a time in which they were supposed to reap the crop that they had sown. We had a cornfield right across the road here, and we saw that corn come up, and it seems like overnight that corn just springs up, and it's like no time, and they are reaping the corn all out of that field there. This man here, it says that he reaped bountifully. He had a lot of things coming off that field there. And notice, he asked himself a question. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Now notice the wording of that verse there. What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? You see, this man's perspective was completely off. He was looking at everything through his lens rather than pointing everything to Christ. You know, thinking about the future for those who do not know the Lord and Savior as their personal Savior, thinking about the future should be a frightening experience. Because they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. They are unsure of that in their minds. But the truth of the matter is, if they haven't trusted Christ, then they will die and go to hell if they don't trust him before their death. As we read the Bible, we find for a time here that the Lord pulled the curtain back, if you will, and allowed men to see beyond this world into eternity. And notice in verse 20, it says this, "But God said unto him," so God is speaking to this rich man, he's speaking to this one that the Bible calls a fool, and notice the first two words that God says to this man, "Thou fool." Now, why did he say those words? It wasn't because this man was not smart intellectually. It was not because this man did not know how to run a business or something like that. It had nothing to do with what this man knew how to do on this earth. No, he was a fool simply because he did not live his life in light of eternity. Each and every one of us, our life needs to be lived in light of what is going to come to pass. Notice here It says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I want you to look at that very next word there. What's that next word? It says, then. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? One little word, but a powerful word. After everything is done, then something is going to happen. There's going to be a time where then is going to happen. It speaks of the time in which we have come to the last page and the last paragraph and the last sentence into the last word into the last syllable of our life. And when that time has ended, then whose shall those things be? You know, each and every one of us, no matter how long of a life or how short of a life you have lived, every single life can be boiled down to two words. Now and then. And that's it. Now and then. What are we doing now? And then who shall those things be? You see, all of our lives are boiled down to those two words. There's no way to escape the fact that there will be a time when everything ends. I want you to look over at the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 9 and look at verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Very familiar verse here, but it's something that each and every one of us need to understand, because the truth of the matter is, if we live our now in light of then we would live differently. Notice here, because in verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, notice, but after this, the judgment. Now, the after this, what is it talking about? It's talking about then. That's what's going to happen. It's appointed unto man once to die. So before the man has died, he's living in the now. But as soon as they die, then we get to that then moment. What is going to be said of us then? You see, each and every one of us, we have an inevitable meeting with God. There's some that will live longer than others on this earth, but the truth of the matter is we are all going to live the same length of time in eternity. It's going to be forever. Whether it's in heaven or whether it's in hell, it's going to be forever. I would rather my forever be settled in heaven, amen? That's where I want to spend eternity. I want no part of death in hell, and praise the Lord, I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Therefore, I don't have to worry about going to hell. But how am I going to live my life now? How am I going to go through this life? Am I going to be like this rich fool here? Am I going to be like a man who I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I can still waste my now? I can still waste that. And many believers are doing just that. They have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but they're not doing a thing to lead others to Christ while they are here on this earth now. This man in this parable was a fool. God told him, or God called him a fool, because he had given no attention to eternity. He did not consider the brevity of life. He only lived for the here and now. He did not live in light of eternity. But what about us? Do we live in light of eternity? Do we live in light of that inevitable meeting with God? Let me ask you this. If I was to tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it was going to come to pass that tonight, in 5 or 6 hours or so, you will meet God, would you live differently for the next 5 or 6 hours? I think all of us would. Each and every one of us. Because we would be met with the fact that our now matters. Wait a second, I'm going to meet God in 5 hours? Well, I need to be doing something with my now. I need to get busy. Church, we may not have 5 hours. We may not have those 6 hours. The Lord may come back before we're out of this service this morning. I wouldn't complain about that, amen? Be in heaven for all eternity. Praise the Lord. We need to live our life in light of eternity. Why are we here? Why has God given us a now? So that we can have something to offer then. Who's in heaven because we told them about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and they accepted him? Who is still on their way to hell because we have not used our now to tell them about our Lord and Savior? Death is certain. The Lord is speaking here, and I want you to look in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 through 15. So notice in verse 1 through verse 12, of course, the Lord is speaking, but then we see there that there is there's an interruption, if you will. And the interruption is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 15. And here's what it says. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So notice, the Lord is speaking here, and a man comes to him, and it says, One of the company, they said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, go tell my brother that he needs to divide the inheritance with me. Now, what's going on here? Well, we had a man that is speaking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and this man had his priorities completely out of whack. He had no idea what he was supposed to be doing. He was focusing on the here and now with his life only and what was going to benefit him. And he comes to the Lord, and he tells him, notice, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother. He had this man trying to boss the Lord around. That's what we try to do many times, isn't it? Lord, give me this. Lord, I want this. Notice he's telling him, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And we do not see that the Lord looks over at the brother and says, now look, you need to be fair with your brother and you need to give him what's rightfully his. No, what's the Lord do? He starts condemning covetousness. Because the truth of the matter is, the only reason we do not live for God the way that we should is because of our pride. It's the only reason. And the Lord, he condemns that right here. Notice, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What he's saying here is this. You're focusing too much on the things of this earth when you should be focusing on the things of heaven. You'd be letting people know about what the Lord and Savior did for you. Man was asking Christ about his inheritance, but Christ knew the man's heart. It was not about the inheritance. It was about possessions, and we need to make sure that our attitude is right towards our possessions. You know, there's nothing evil or sinful about having things. It's not evil to have a nice house or a nice car or something like that. Those things are not evil in and of themselves. But the truth of the matter is, we can have an evil attitude towards those things. I've heard people say before, well, money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. Money touches every area of our life. But the love of money, it's the attitude towards the money. If someone if they're always going after the dollar and they're saying, well, I just cannot be happy unless I have X, Y, or Z, they have a love of money, and that's the root of evil. Notice, but it says it's the root of all evil. We need to beware of covetousness. I want you to notice, first of all here, notice the failure of success. The failure of success. And you're sitting here and you're thinking, wait a second. If it's success, how can it be failure? And if it's a failure, how can it be a success? Well, look at verse 16, if you will. Notice it says, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, in most people's minds, failure and success cannot go together. We find an example of the failure of succeeding here, because in succeeding, this man neglected God. Because he succeeded, it caused him to have the greatest failure of his life because of his mindset towards his things. Christ did not say that this man worked hard to cultivate and irrigate the land and the ground gave him the crop and all of those things. Notice he says that those things came from God himself. Notice it says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. How did that seed grow? Because God caused it to grow. How did that plant just continue to get stronger and to yield that fruit? And how was this man able to go out and harvest this crop? Because of the grace of God. That's the only reason he was able to do this. And he says here, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He did not say the certain rich man brought forth plentifully. That's not what he said. The ground that God had given him brought forth plentifully. You know, God will bless hard work. Don't forget that the air that we are breathing comes from God himself. We cannot live without God. It's nothing that we do that causes the oxygen and all of those things that we need. Nothing we do creates those things. They come from God himself. It's a blessing from God. We need to never forget where our strength comes from. But this man in this parable, he neglected God. In chapter 12 and starting in verse 16, notice, and he spake a parable unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself. Now look at the language here when he spoke within himself. Notice when he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. This man here in this world, the only one that had attention was himself. He succeeded, but his success was his greatest failure. Each and every one of us, we have been blessed with things. We have a house to go home to. We have a car to drive. We have food to eat. We have family that we love and that loves us. We have been blessed beyond measure. Truth of the matter is, we've all been blessed. But we have allowed things to take us away from God. All of us, at one time or another, have focused more on things than we have on God. All of us. We need the Holy Spirit's power to keep us away from that mindset. We need the Lord's help to keep these things in check, because it doesn't matter how high on the ladder of success we climb. If we neglect the Word of God, then our success has become failures. This man, he came to Christ and he said that he had an inheritance and he wanted his inheritance. Nothing was wrong with him desiring something on this earth. What was wrong is that he was putting that before eternal things. The things were consuming him. And notice, secondly here, notice not only the failure of success, but notice also the future of sinners. Luke chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says this, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? This man lived as a fool, and this man died as a fool. Not because he was not very intelligent, but because he neglected his own soul. You know, no matter how great his life seemed on earth, we read of where his future was over in the book of Jude. Look at Jude, if you will. Book of Jude in verse 13. Book of Jude in verse 13. This is where the rich man is spending eternity. Jude in verse 13, the Bible says this, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Think about it. He had everything he wanted on this earth. He had a good problem in man's eyes. Well, I just have so many things. I need to not only build bigger barns, but tear down the barns that I have, completely waste those things and build greater things to hold all of my stuff. And God said, you're a fool. You know, in this world that we live in, there's many people who are searching for truth. And as we study different people's lives, you're going to find this, that there are people who literally spend their life traveling all over the world searching for truth. They're looking for something. They're looking for something that they can hold on to, something that's going to give them hope, something that is going to fill this void within them. And they go to all of these different countries, and they're searching for all of these things. They look at mysticism. They look at these false gods, and they look at all of these things. And you know what happens? Every single time they come home as empty as they were before. And rather than seeing what is plain and simple from the Word of God, as soon as they get home, they say this: well, maybe I should go to this place, and maybe I should fly over to this place, and I can find hope there. Their hope is right here. And we've got these people that are using all of these resources to find the truth that we should be giving to them. We should be giving it to them. We need the Lord to help us to tell others. Many people, they spend all of their resources, travel this world over and over and over again, and die without Christ. And no matter how much they had in their bank account, no matter how much they were willing to give to others, no matter how much they were willing to spend to search for something that was going to fill that void, without accepting Christ as their Savior, when they die, God says, "Thou fool. Thou fool." Truth is, all of us are going to have a then moment. And where that then moment will be spent will be determined by the decision we make while we're here. The decision we make now, whether accepting Christ or neglecting Him. Not only the failure of success, not only the future of sinners, but notice lastly, the faith of the saved. Look at Luke chapter 12, and starting in verse 21, we're going to read down to verse 28. Notice the Bible says this in verse 21, "So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is, or so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for your body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" As Christ is talking about this rich man, he's talking to this man who is asking about his inheritance, and he tells him what God thought of that, and he said, "Thou fool." It says, but then Christ turned to the disciples. He turns to the ones who who are following him, these ones who have trusted him as their personal Savior, and he starts telling them exactly what they need to worry about, and that worry is not a thing. Not a thing. He said, God's going to take care of you. He takes care of the birds. He even takes care of the grass. He takes care of all of these things. And he is describing something to them that mankind knows nothing about, and that is this: not being rich in this world, but being rich towards God. That's what he's talking about here. Now, wait a second. How can that be talking about being rich there? Because he's literally saying that they don't need to care about having those things. He talks about the clothing and all of that and not thinking about those things. That's exactly right, because being rich towards God is simply this: trusting that God will take care of your needs. That's what being rich towards God is. Christ is emphasizing to his followers here, do not let the world get you. Do not let the desire for things capture you. Do not sink your roots so deeply here that you miss eternity in heaven. After this parable here. This man, of course, turns to his disciples here and spoke to them about this matter. Look in verse 29. Notice when he's speaking of Christ here, still speaking, it says, And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He says, look, the whole world is searching for this stuff. The whole world is looking for these things. But notice he says, but your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Each and every one of us here, we know what it is to be a provider or to be provided for. And the truth of the matter is, we understand that God is going to provide for our needs. And we would say, if we were asked the question, does God provide for you? Yes, He does. But then we spend our days, countless hours, neglecting the things of God simply because we're trying to get that next thing. We need to work. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he should not eat. We need to work. But we need to understand that we need to be rich towards God before being rich towards man. Christ is talking about the faith of the saved here. Just saying here that they need to live like they know that their home is in heaven and tell others about who the Son of God really is, because His Word is true. We need to have our priorities straight. God gives us all things, but why does He give us these things? Simply because we are supposed to honor Him with these things. No one has ever lived their life given completely to God and regretted it. No one. Now, everyone who lives their life, they may be the greatest Christian we know, but can I tell you this? When they stand before Christ, they're going to say, I wish I had given Him more. I wish there was more that I could have given to Him. Are we rich in faith? We may have many things on this earth, but what do we have when it comes to faith? We need to be rich in faith. Many people are materialistically minded. And when we are minded materialistically, we cannot be rich in faith. Someone who is constantly searching for the new thing on earth cannot be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll be done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 1, the Bible says this, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, notice, eternal, in the heavens. That is the ones who are saved. We know that we have a home prepared for us in heaven. You know that you have that building. We say that we love the Lord, but are we giving so that others will hear the gospel? Are we giving towards missions the way that we should be? Are we honoring God by giving of our time? Are we taking advantage of every opportunity that the Holy Spirit places in front of us to tell others about Christ? Everything that we do in life is to be with one word in view, and that word is then. Because it's coming. Then. We need to be living now in light of what's coming then. Because that will change how we live. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm looking forward to it. But there's many things that I should be doing now. Many things that are many people that I should be telling about Christ now. Because when Christ comes, my opportunity is over. Let's trust Him.